Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yivamos Daf Ayin Vav. We left off on Daf Ayin Hey. I'm at base 3 lines from the end of the page. Hahu Uvda. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by the Chevra here in honor of the wedding, Bezer Shem, today of Zahava Graf to Roni Kupchik. We wish our Dafyomi Magachir Alicia Graf a tremendous mazel tov, and Daniela Graf a tremendous mazel tov on the Simcha today. So we are going to continue first in the sugya of the urological issues that we've been discussing in yesterday's daf, and we're going to finish that discussion of the urological issues. We're going to talk about whether a puncture in that area that's healed, whether it's considered to be healed and a person can no longer be a patsua daka once it is healed, or if it's something that cannot be reversed. The Gemara is going to describe a urological surgical procedure and how it was done in ancient times. One of these "do not try this at home" kind of procedures in the Talmud. Then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah is going to talk about the Isra of Patsua Daka to marry Bekahal, and the Gemara, meaning that you're not allowed to marry Bekal Hashem, but a Patsua Daka is allowed to marry people who are not considered Bekal Hashem, a Giyores, a Meshuchreres. So the Gemara is going to say, oh yeah, but what if the Patsua Daka is a Kohen? Is he not allowed to marry Giyores and Meshuchreres because he's a Kohen, and also not allowed to marry Bekal Hashem because he's a Patsua Daka? Or do we say, no, the fact that he's a Patsua Daka means he loses that special status of Kuhuna, and therefore he is allowed to marry Bekalash, he's allowed to marry a Giyores and a Meshuchreres. So that's going to, that's the sugya that's going to take us to Amud Beis, to the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to compare the Isra of Ammoni and Moavi to the Isra of Mitzri Ve'edomi, that they each have different rules, both as far as whether women are included in the Isra, as well as how many generations the Isser goes for. So the Gemara is going to, the Mishnayis are going to have machlokas as to the exact nature of those two Isurim. Then the Gemara is going to have is going to elaborate on the conversation that took place when David took on Goliath and Shaul started asking about David's Yichus. So we're going to get into that discussion about the Yichus of David HaMelech, and I guess that is a Shavuos related topic, as we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, so that is a quasi Daf Yomi coincidence. So let's begin. We left off 3 lines at the bottom of the page on Daf Ayin Hayim Beis, Hahu Uvda. So this is picking up on what we were discussing yesterday, where we spoke about two different deformities, urological deformities. One where the aver was shaped like a quill, or it was tapered at the end; it gets narrower at the end. And the other where it's like grooved. And there's like this gutter over the top of the aver where it's grooved at the top. So the Gemara had a discussion: which one is kosher, which one is pasul, or maybe they both have the same halacha. So the Gemara had said that Marzutra said in name Rav Papa that hilchsa bein kekolmus bein kemarzev kshera, that both of them are going to be kshera. However, mibayile lemata meatara olamaila. So the Gemara says that wasn't really a shaila, either whether we're talking about the matar or the mal meatara. But now, ha'u uvda, there was a maisa, tahava b'masa mechasya, where in a place called masa mechasya, by a person who had a gid that was grooved like a gutter, that according to Ravuna and Rava, he would be pasul milova b'kal. But marbar avashi, he holds like Ravuna, and he wanted to makshir him to be lova b'kal. So what did he do? Shaf ye marbar avashi. Marbar avashi did a surgical procedure where he further cut the gid down to the point that kikulmus, he shaped it in a tapered way, and therefore he had changed the nature of it va'achshere, and then he was able to be machshere, and because of its shaped kikulmus, it's going to be kosher. So now the Braisa Maseches Bechoros tells us that inside of the aver, of the male aver, there are two tsinoros, there are two pipes, so to speak, one that one urinates through, and the other through which shechva zera emerges, and in between them there's just the tiniest space, klipa sashum, like a garlic peel of a barrier in between the two tsinoros that you have inside of the gid. So now, hahu of dadava bepumbedisa, there was a maisa that happened in Pumbedisa where istatim guvsa deshichva zera, the tube through which the shichva zera normally comes out was clogged, va'apik v'makom Ketanim, and instead the Shechva Zera was emerging from the body where urine normally emerges from the body. So Savar Rabbi Bar Abaye thought Lachshurei that the person is not a Patsua Daka, he's not a Kros Shevcha, because there's no Patsua, there's no Dach, and there's no Kros. Right? We discussed yesterday that in order to be a Patsua Daka or Kros Shevcha, either it needs to be Patsua, which means wounded, Dach, which means crushed, or Karos, which means severed. And none of those things are true about this person. So he thought that maybe we could be machshir him because he doesn't fit the category of Patsua Daka or Kros Shevcha. So Amar Papi Mishum Da'asu Mimulai Amrisu Mili Mulyusa. So he said, because you come from Mulai, meaning from a family that is umlala, a family that is cut off, or that is messed up, that is ruined in some way, meaning the family of Eli HaKohen, where his children die at a young age. The Gemara Rashan and Daf Yuches talks about this, that the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Kol Marbis Beischa Yamusu Anoshim, that that was a curse on the family of Eli HaKohen, that their children are going to die at a young age. So because you come from such a family, Amrisu Mili Mulyusa, you're saying things that are also not correct, things that are improper, because only when the Shechva Zera is Bimakoma Mivashla, only when the Shechva Zera comes out of the place it's supposed to come out, it comes through the tube that it is supposed to come, only then does it get properly Mivushal, so to speak, to the point where it will be able to impregnate a woman. But if you have this small puncture in between the two tubes, and therefore the Shechva Zera goes out through the area where Mei Raglayim normally comes out, so then it's not going to be Mivashla, and therefore Shalom Bimakoma Lo Mivashla, and it's not going to be able to impregnate a woman. So the person is not Roy Laholid, and therefore he's Pasul Milava Bekal, which seems like it's a Psul of Kros Shivcha, because since the tube of Zera is closed, and it's as if it's cut off, and it's therefore considered to be a form of Kros Shivcha. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Nika Venistam, what if the gid had a hole in it, but then the hole was scabbed over. It was closed off, and you don't see the hole anymore. Kol she'ilu nikri v'nikra. So we have to assess the following way. Any hole that's large enough that if the person were to become a balkeri, it would broaden and it would widen, and the shechva zera would come through that hole, then pasul. Then we don't view that hole as being cured, because we see that the shechva zera would come right through. V'ilav, but if the nekav is not, if it would not be ripped open through an act of seeing keri, through becoming balkeri, then kosher. Then we assume that it is healed properly, and the person is going to be kosher. So havi bar Rava had the following safek. Heicha, where is the place of the hole in the gid where Shmuel is talking about? If the neck of his sasum l'mal me'atara, it's closed off higher than the atar, we should be makshirim even without any sort of bedika, whether it opens up again at the time that it becomes a balkari, because the zera doesn't gather and push in that area. It's only samach l'piya ama where that's going to happen. That's the that's where it comes out. And he lema l'mat me'atara, and if you're going to assume, so that goes unstated. Rashi points that out, that if it's the Lamala Mea Torah, it doesn't make sense to have such a discussion at all. Any lema lemata me'atara, if you say that we're talking about samach l'piya ama, where it's lemata me'atara, then for sure he's going to be kosher. Afilu nichras nami, meaning if it's toward the further away from the body, lemata me'atara, even if it's totally cut off, it would be kosher over there. We said that the basar lemala me'atara, that's just flesh. That doesn't make a person a kohen shivcha or patsua daka at all. So that shouldn't be a problem at all. Ella batara atzma. No, the whole shaila must be where it's in the atara itself. So if at the time of the bedika, so to speak, where you're examining and you're seeing what happens when he becomes a balkari, the hole becomes opened, it becomes torn, and becomes broadened, so then it's going to be pasul, but otherwise it's going to be kosher. See, it Manami, we have a beferisha teaching exactly like Rava said, exactly what Rava came up with on his own, that Amar Rav Mari Barmar, Amar Ukva, Amar Shmuel, that the tradition was that Shmuel had said, Nikev ba'atara atzma, that Shmuel in fact said that only if the nekev is in the atara itself, vinistam, and then it got closed up, kol she'ilu nikri v'nikra pasul, if the guy were to become balkari and then it would tear open, he's going to be pasul. V'ilav kosher, Otherwise, he's going to be kosher. So the Gemara explains, how is this bedika done to know if the nekev was properly closed off? So Shalach le Rava Berei de Rabba le Rav Yosef. Rava Berei de Rabba sent to Rav Yosef, when you have such a situation where you have to paskin whether the nekev is going to, how the nekev is going to be affected at the time that a person becomes Balkari, he says, Ilam den Rabbeinu, hechi avdinan. What should we do to make a person a Balkari? Typically, you're not supposed to do that. A person's not supposed to just make himself a Balkari. So what should we do if we have to do this examination to see to see whether he's a Kroshavcha or not? So how should we bring him Lidei Keri in order to be able to prove one way or the other to show that he's kosher or not? So Amleis Rav Yosef said to Rav Abreid Rabba, Maisina Naam Chamima Desari, bring warm barley bread, Umanchinale Abe Pukri, and put it by the neck of Beis Harei, put it by near the anus, which is close to the testicles, and because of the warmth in that area, umikri, the person will be motzi zera v'chazinanle, and then you'll be able to see whether the area becomes whether the hole that was that has been closed up bursts open again, or whether it remains closed, and that's how you'll be able to do the test. So Amar Abaye says you're going to bring a person that they carry through such a thing so atukuli alma Yaakov Avinu Avai, meaning you think it's not possible to make a person a balkari in any other way? What, he's such an ish kadosh that everyone is like Yaakov Avinu, that they can't ever just become a balkari? Dichsiv bei, because we know about Yaakov Avinu, when Reuven was born, he said Reuven b'choriata kochi v'reishizoni, that Reuven is kochi v'reishizoni, which means shalara'a keri miyamav. The Yaakov Avinu had never seen keri earlier, had never become a balkari in his entire life until he impregnated Leah with Reuven. That was the very first time Yaakov Avinu ever became a balkari. So you're saying that everybody's like that, and everybody needs some sort of special warm barley bread placed delicately in a certain part of the body in order to become a balkari? That seems unrealistic. So Tosus just points out, wait a second, Yaakov never became a balkari beforehand. That means that Leah was Nisaber from the Nisabra Mibia Rishona, but typically we assume, or in Shas they assume, that it's impossible for a woman to become pregnant from the Bia Rishona, that you need one Bia to break the Besulim. It's what Chazal referred to as Osa Osa Kli, that he therefore makes her now ready to become pregnant, but it cannot impregnate her. That's not nowadays that we know that the woman can become pregnant from Bia Rishona, but the Gemara always assumes that a woman cannot become pregnant from Bia Rishona. So Tosfos writes, "V'nisabrim Bia Rishona shemiacha be'etzba'a." She had otherwise broken her besulim separately, and only because of that was she able to become pregnant from the Bia Rishona. Rabbeinu Avram in Ahar asked the Kashi. He says it doesn't sound this way from Chumash that this was Yaakov Avinu's first bia, because the pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel, "Vayavo osa elav, vayavo eleha." It describes that he had bia with her, and then it has a whole maisa with Yaakov getting upset that he was supposed to marry Rachel and not Leah, and then "Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah," and then Hashem saw that Leah was not the beloved wife, "Vayivtach es rachma," and then Hashem therefore opened up her womb, "V'rachel akara," and Rachel was an akara, "Vatar Leah v'teilid ben," and then Leah became pregnant, gave birth to a child, then "Vatikra shmo Reuven," and they called that child Reuven. Sounds like it was only after he was Boel Rachel that Hashem was poseach the rechem of Leah, and only then was the zera of Yaakov impregnating Leah. So how could you say that that Reuven was notzer mibia rishona? It does not sound that way at all from the psukim. So Rav Ram Minahar says that the pshat in kochi v'reishis oni is that he never saw keri miyamav until he was Boel Leah, but it doesn't mean that Reuven was created mitipa rishona. It doesn't mean that Reuven necessarily, like Rashi had said, that Reuven came from the very first tipas keri. It means that he never had a tipas keri before he married Leah, but that doesn't mean that's where Reuven came from. In the Nahar Shraga, one of the Achronim, he says that lechora our Gemara is against the Medrash. There's a Pirkei Reb Lazar and as well as a Medrash Rabbah that both disagree with our Gemara, because the Pirkei Reb Lazar and the Medrash Rabbah say that is imply very strongly that Reuven was not mitipa rishona, because the Midrashim say that all of the Shvatim were born together with a female twin, that they were all twins, and there was a girl born with each one. Now Reuven is the Bechor. If Reuven is the Bechor, it means he was the first one out. He was born before his female twin. But Chazal tell us that the assumption is that whatever Tipa was nichnas rishona is yatsa achrona. Whichever tipa impregnated first is going to come out last, which means, right, that's by Yaakov and Esav, that even though Esav emerged first, in a certain sense, Yaakov really was the Bechar in terms of the first tipa. So over here also, if Reuven was the Bechar, it means that he was not the tipa rishona. Elamai, the achronim suggests, maybe that's an indication that it's against our Gemara, that the Midrashim assume that Reuven was taka not from the tipa rishona. But anyway, back into the context of our sugya over here. So the Gemara wants to know, do you really need to do such an experiment or such a method of being motzi keri from the person in order to do such a in order to test? Elo amar Abaye ma'abrin kamei bigdei tzavonin. No, what you do instead is you just bring colorful clothing that belong to a woman in front of the person, and that will arouse him, and therefore it will be maybe the day hero, which will be maybe the day keri, and that way you'll be able to be bodek. So amar Rava, atu kuli alma barzilei agaladiu. You think every person is such a baltaiva that they're like Barzilei Agaladi, who is a shatuf bezima, who is someone who's such a baltaiva that even just seeing women's clothing is going to make him a balkari? That such a thing is going to work? Meaning we went to the other extreme. First we thought, oh, the only way you're going to be able to make him balkari is you do some sort of procedure to be motzi the keri manually. Then the other understanding is show him anything. You know, anything will immediately arouse him and be motzi keri. So everybody's on the other extreme, not like Yaakov Avinu, like Barzilei Agaladi. Now it must be like Rav Yosef said originally, that you actually use the warm bread with the experiment that we described earlier. Now there is a concept that you're not supposed to look at Bigdei Tzavonin Shel Isha. The Gemara tells us that also is maybe Lidei Hirhur. The Amshul Shlomo writes Dafka Bigdei Tzavonin Shel Isha She'enu Makir. You're allowed to be mistakel, meaning if you don't know who the woman is, you just see the clothing. But if you know who the woman is and she's an Eishes Ish, then it's usher to be mistakel even in the begadim. But if she's single, it could be that it's mutter, and dafka her begadim, it could be that it's mutter. But obviously, to be mistakel at the isha herself, says the Amshul Shlomo, even if she's a penuya, it's going to be usher, and therefore it would not be something that they could have done. But it could have been maybe the day hirhurim. Anyway, in such a situation, someone just asked Rav Shechter Shaila, what was the case? That his wife's sister had a dress, and the wife wanted to try on the sister's dress. So he wanted to know, you're allowed to be mistakel the Bigdei Tzavonim of an Eishes Ish, your sister-in-law, but when it's being worn by your wife, not by the sister-in-law. That was the Shaila. I don't know, people don't often think about this as a Bigdei Tzavonim. But anyway, over here, it's just being used to describe how to be maybe a personally day carry. So anyway, Tan Rabbana. Now the Bryson discusses a nekev shenistam. You have a hole in that area, a puncture in that area that gets closed off. So nikav pasul. If the gid is nikav, it's punctured, l'mal me'atara, so the person is a krushavcha. Mipnei shu shoseis, because the zera is not going to be yora kechetz anymore. The zera is not going to shoot out. It's going to spill out. So nistam, but if it gets closed up, that hole gets closed up, kosher, mnei shu molid, because then at that point, he's able to be masriya properly, and he's able to impregnate a woman. And this is that rare psul that could become kosher again. So the Gemara is medayik from the fact that it says zehu, zehu psul achozer lachshero. That implies that there's another type of psul that is not chozer lachshero. So the mutemai, what are we trying to exclude? What kind of psul are we saying is not chozer lachshero? So the mutei krum sha'ala machmas maka bereya. It's talking about a sircha in the lung of a trefa, of a behema that becomes a trefa, that the lung has a hole in it, and then it scabs over because of the not in the exact spot of the nekev, but because of a maka in a different spot on the lung of the animal. So the scab grows enough where it goes over the hole as well. De'enokrum, that's not considered to be a proper scab that's going to close off that hole, and the animal is still going to be a trefa. So Gemara discusses, how does one go about closing a nekev in the gid? Let's say you have a person who's a krushivcha because he has this problem. Is there any surgical procedure you could do to rectify this problem? So shalchei Rav Yehuda bar Avinu Abaye, hechi avdinan. What should we do as a refuah for a gid shenikev? So Mesin and Sa'arti said, bring a piece of barley, umesartinan lay, and cut or scratch around the hole with the tip of the piece of barley, because it's very sharp at its tip, and draw some blood, umaisin and tarba, and then bring some chalev, some fat, vishayfinan, and rub it in the place of the nekev, umaisin and shumshma gamla, and then bring a large bug, umanaksin and lay, and place the head of that bug in the place of the nekev, in order that it will attach itself, its head would be attached in the place of the nekev, upaskin and lay the reshe, and then cut off the head of that bug, and over time, as the head of the bug slowly dissipates and slowly shrinks, the skin around it and the flesh around it is going to grow until the flesh around it is going to grow into each other, and the whole wound is going to be healed. V'davka sa'arta aval parzula mizrav zarif. But you have to only use to the cutting instrument that you use in the surgery has to davka be a piece of barley. If you use something made out of barzel, made out of metal, it's only going to make it a greater wound. V'hani mili katan. And all of this only works if the hole is very small. Aval gadol. But if it was a larger hole, it's not going to help. Mikfule mikfal. It's just going to fold over. It's going to, the nekev is going to open up again. It's not going to actually heal itself. So now the Gemara brings another din related to a nekev, related to a hole in the gid of a man. So the Braisa says in Masechet Becharos, like we said before, that there are two tzinoros, that there are two tubes inside of the male organ, one for meraglayim and one for shechva zera, and in between them is kiklipas hashum. So Amar Rabbi Rav Huna matil mayim mishtei mekomos. If a person is matil mayim, he urinates out of both of those tubes, whether it's the neck of a meraglayim or the neck of hazera, and that's because apparently the barrier that separates them is punctured. So pasul, then the person is pasul of a bakal. It's so Amar Rava. Rava says two dinim were said, one in the name of Rabbi Rav Huna and the other in the name of Rav Huna. Les hilchsa lo ke bra v'lo ke abba. We don't hold like Rabbi Rav Huna, nor do we hold like the father of Rabbi, which is Rav Huna himself. Meaning two separate dinim, one said by the father, one said by the son, and we don't pass like either one of them. What are we referring to? Bra hada'amaran. That which Rabbi Rav Huna said is the halacha we just said, that if the person is matil mayim from both of the tubes, it's he's going to be pasul. The ma'isa we pass in such a person is kosher. And Abba, and what did Rav Huna say that we don't hold of? Tam Rav Huna, Nashima, Misolo, Zubazu, nothing to do with anything, totally different topic. If you have two women that are Misolo, Zubazu, that sleep with each other, Kiderech, Tashmish, as if it was a Zachar and a Keva, as if it was a male and a female, then Psulos, Lukuna. Then the Apostle Lukuna, we assume that they have a status, the way Rashi says that they have the status of a Zona, and it's a violation, therefore, of Isha Zona, V'chalal, Lo Yikachu, by engaging in such behavior, they make themselves pasul l'kuhuna. So the Gemara says, why taka is that? What taka is the halacha? V'afilu Rab Lazar, even Rab Lazar who's machmir by nisa zona l'kuhuna, tamar pari abala p'nuya sholosh emishas asa zona. Even Rab Lazar who holds that even just a couple that were a single guy and a single girl that have bia not married is enough to make her a zona. Hani mili ish. That's only if a woman has bia with a man, aval isha, but a woman with another woman, that's not considered bia at all. Pritzus sabialma, that's considered a pritzus. That does not make her a zona, that makes a pasul lakuna. It's considered a terrible act of pritzus, and that's all it is. So the question is, what does that mean, a terrible act of pritzus? Is this an isidoraisa? Is it an isidorabanan? Is it not asr at all? Or is it just something that's frowned upon? So the Rambam in Hilch Sisur Bia Perchaf Aleph writes that when you have Noshama Masol Zubazu, it's asr. Umi Maisa Mitzrayim Hu, Shuz Harnu Alav, Shanamar Kamaisar, it's Mitzrayim, Shay Shaftim Balo Sasu, that it's a violation of the pasuk. They shouldn't do like the Maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim. And the Rambam quotes the Medrash that Mayu Osim Ish Nosei Ish, Isha Nosei Isha, V'Isha Nisei Sushnei Anashim, Afal Pisha Maaseh Zeh Asa, In Malkin Lav Shein Lav Miyuch, that the Medrash says that what did they do in Mitzrayim? Men would marry men, women would marry women, one woman would be married to two men. All of these things are Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim. So there's Machlokas Achronim, what the Rambam means by all of this. The Levush in Ebenezer Simin Hay says that the Rambam holds that there's no Malkus because it's a Lav Shebechlelos, because it includes so many different acts of not to do like Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim. So, but it is an Isra Min HaTorah. However, in the Cheker Halachi, he says that according to the Rambam, it must only be an Isra D'Rabbanan. And the Raya is, because he doesn't count it in the Minyan of Mitzvos. Even though the Rambam typically does count even those Lavin that you don't get Malkus for, in the minyan mitzvos. So the Rambam says you don't get malchus on this because there's no separate lav. He doesn't mean that there's no separate lav for nashim asolos. It means that there's no separate lav for doing kemaisim mitzrayim. That it's not really an iser d'oraisa in the first place. That it's only an iser d'rabbanan. So that's a machlokas achronim. How exactly to learn that Rambam? Okay, there's more to say on that, but let's go back to now. So now we have a new Mishnah. The Torah tells us that lo yavo p'tzua daku k'roshovcha b'kal Hashem. So the Mishnah discusses what is kal Hashem? Who is a p'tzua daku and k'roshovcha? Not allowed to marry. So p'tzua daku k'roshovcha mutarin b'giyores u'mishuchrares. He's allowed to marry a giyores and he's allowed to marry a shivcha kananis that was freed. Ve'ena nasurin elam ilava b'kal. He's only not allowed to marry a native Jewess. Shenamra lo yavo p'tzua daku k'roshovcha b'kal Hashem. And gerim and mishuchrarim are not considered kahal. They're not considered to be kal. Gerim is low ikri kahal. So Ptsudaka and Krushovka is therefore allowed to marry a giyores or a mishuchrarim. So by my name Rav Sheshes, Ptsua Daka Kohen Mahu Begioris Mushukharas. What if the Ptsua Daka is a Kohen? Does that now allow him to marry a Gioris and a Mushukharas? Normally a Kohen's not allowed to marry Gioris and Mushukharas, but by becoming a Ptsua Daka, is that Matirim? That's the Shaila we had about 7.5 years ago when Daf Yomi hit this last time. Someone was learning the Daf, and this fellow was married to a non-Jewish woman, and he was a Kohen. He was married to a non-Jewish woman, but he was getting from her, and he was learning the Daf Yomi, and he came across this Gemara, and he realized that he was never able to go to a Beis Din to have his wife convert, because then she'd be a Gioris, and he was a Kohen. He can't marry a Gioris. So it dawned on him, all he needs to do is become a Ptsua Daka. So he wanted to go get a vasectomy. It's an Issa Daraisa to do that. Okay, but that's just one Issa Daraisa. He's willing to take one for the team. If that would mean that his wife could then be Megayer, and then he'd be allowed to marry her, he'd lose his kuhuna, then he'd be allowed to marry his wife. So that was the chap that the fellow came up with. You see what learning Dav Yomi could do? So there was a big discussion in the postgame at the time. What do you tell a person like that? Do you tell a person, if you go through with the surgery, it's an Issa, we're not going to be Megayer your wife anyway, so it's a waste of time? Or do you say, look, the guy's been married to the woman for 30 years, he's not going to leave her, and maybe this is the best case scenario, that he goes to a non-Jewish surgeon, and it's a violation of maybe Lifnei Iver, or maybe Amira La'akwim, by asking a non-Jewish surgeon to do this, so we'll have one more Lifnei Iver, or one more Amira La'akwim on his cheshbon and shemayim, after being married to a non-Jewish woman for 30 years, and then he'll be able to live happily ever after. So the guy who asked me that shayla 7.5 years ago just emailed me, he said, oh, we're coming up on the place where we had that shayla. So I asked whatever happened in the end, because we got different psakim at the time. Rav Zilberstein said at the time, absolutely not. We should. It's a violation of every yisur in the Torah. He had an impressive list of yisurim that would be a violation if you let this fellow go through with this. And Rav Asher Weiss said, you can't tell them that he's allowed to do it, but you can tell them that his cheshbon is probably correct, meaning that it's that one more lifnei iver is probably a lot less than remaining married to a non-Jewish woman. So and you can look the other way when he does it, and then after he does it, then you could be Megayer the woman. So we had different. Rav Shechter wouldn't answer the question. He said a rabbi needs to have Ruach HaKodesh to answer such a question. He wouldn't answer the question. So I asked. I said, what happened? He said, because the case was the guy had three or four sons, and they all married Jewish women. So all of his Einoklach were Jewish, even though his wife was not Jewish and his sons were not Jewish. So the guy told me that this fellow never went through with it. He's still married to the non-Jewish woman, but a couple of his sons converted. And all of his grandchildren are Jewish, and some of his sons are Jewish now as well. So anyway, so by me of Sheshes, Patsua Daka Koin Bigyoros Mao Bigyoros Mishukharas. So is the guy's cheshbon correct? Does he lose his kahuna? Bikdushase Kai Vasir, does he retain his kuhuna and therefore he's not allowed to marry Gyoros Mishukharas? Al Dumalabhashase Kai Vishari, or maybe he does not retain his Kedusha and therefore he's allowed to marry Gyoros Mishukharas. So I'm of Sheshes to Nisur. Sheshes says we could be poshate the suffix from a Braisa. Patsua Daka Yisrael Mutab Nesina, that a Ptsua Daka who's a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Nesina who's from one of the seven nations that normally you're not allowed to marry because he's a Ptsua Daka. So the Yisrael, but if a person retains their Kedusha even after becoming a Ptsua Daka, it should be a violation of the Yisrael not marrying a Nesina. So Elamai, you lose whatever level of Kedusha you have when you become a Ptsua Daka. So Amarava, Atu Asa Mishum Kedusha, Velav Kedusha. That's about Kedusha and not Kedusha? No. the Yisrael doesn't. It's not about kedusha. Dilma molud bein vazel palach avod zchavim. No, over there the issur is of marrying the shivas ha'amim is that you might have a child from that woman, and then the child is going to be over avod the zara. So the hanimili, when we say that you're not allowed to be mischatin with the shiva ha'amim, that's biyosan of the chavim. That's when they remain of the chavim that are not megayir. But ki megayri be Yisrael sharu. But when they're megayir, then you are allowed to marry them. For rabbanu degazer b'hu, it's only a din midrabbanan that you're not allowed to marry them when they were megayir. So since we assume that they have certain midos ra'os that are not going to easily disappear. But the chigazbu rabbanan, when did the rabbanan make the gzera that you're not allowed to marry a nesina even if she's converted? That's bahanach to b'nei uludi. That's if you're going to be able to have children. Aval hai, but a p'tzua daka to lav bar uludi, he's not going to have children anyway. Lo gazbu b'nei rabbanan, the rabbanan never goes there. Meaning midah raisa, you're not allowed to marry a nesina only because she's going to have children and those children are going to be ovid avod zara, so you can be marba of the avod zara in the world. But if she converts, there's no iser midah raisa, only an iser midah rabbanan. The rabbanan only made that iser if you're able to have children, but if you're not able to have children, then it's not even a violation of the iser. So minatara, there's no iser at all to marry a nesina that's nisgaira because of the kedusha sisal that he has, so you don't have any raya that a petzua daka is from the fact that a petzua daka is mutter bin nesina, you don't have any raya that a person's becoming a petzua daka makes him lose his kedusha. Ela me'ata says more, but if that cheshbon is correct, mamzer devar ludi hachinami da'asir. Wait, so mamzer should not be allowed to marry a nesina because he is able to have children. But the Mishnah tells us that a mamzer is allowed to marry a nesina. Ela ki goz rabban b'ksherim v'psulim lo goz rabban. No, when the rabban were goes there not to marry a nesina, that was only for people who are kasher lava bakal. But for a petzua daka, for a mamzer, for people who are pasul lava bakal, they were never goes there. They have such limited shidduch possibilities. They were never goes there that they're not allowed to marry a nesina. The rabban left it alone. So once Rava says that the Yisrael los chatin bam is on the shiva amim before the megayir, hadar amar Rava. Rava changes his mind. He said lav milsihi. Well, it's not correct what I said. Biyosav licham lasu chasnos. How could there be an isr? Don't marry someone who's not a Jew. There is no such thing as marriage if the person is not a Jew. There's no chasnos. Nisgayru islu chasnos. There can only be chasnos when they're megayir. So los chatin bam on the shiva amim must be after the megayir. So if that's the case, the reason the Torah does not allow chitin with them even after the megayir is like Yisrael marrying the sinas because of the kedush of the Yisrael. So if a p'tzua daka Yisrael is mutter ben sina, so you see that his psul of marrying a Yisraelis brings him off of his kedusha. It makes him lose his kedusha, and therefore if Sheshes was correct that just like that similarly a p'tzua daka kohen should lose his kedusha and therefore be allowed to marry a gioras and a shukharas. So the Gemara discusses this idea that by goyim you don't have a concept of chasnus. So must Rav Yosef veischatin Shlomo's bas paro melech Mitzrayim, but it describes that Shlomo melech married bas paro melech Mitzrayim. How can you say that there's no chasnus because she's an achris? The pasuk says there's chasnus. So says more gira gaira. What, you think Shlomo melech married a woman who wasn't Jewish? He was megayir her. I valo kibul gerim lo bimei David lo bimei Shlomo. But how could they have been megayir her? I thought during the days of David melech and Shlomo melech we were not mekabel gerim. So no, midir taima elo l'shulchan melechim. The only reason we were not mekabel gerim during those times of unusual success for the Jewish people was because we have to be concerned that they have an ulterior motive, that yeah, everyone wants to be royalty, everyone wants to enjoy the success of being part of the Jewish people. But halo tzrichale, this was a bas paro. She already was royalty. She didn't need to be megayir in order to experience that. She was very, very wealthy, and therefore when she came to be megayir, it must have been l'shem shemayim, and therefore it was permissible to be megayir her. So now the Gemara discusses, wait a second, we just said that the lashon of chitun is not shayich if there's no tfisas kiddushin. But wait a second, even if Shlomo was megayir her, she was a first generation mitzris, meaning the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a mitzri until the dor shlishi. It says lo tesai mitzri kigeri yisabar. So banim asher yivoldulem dor shlishi yavolem bekal Hashem. Bas paro, she herself was the one that was megayir, so she's a mitzris rishona, and a mitzris rishona doesn't have tefisas kiddushin, at least according to one sheet, according to the sheet of Rav Simai. V'chi tema hanachazi la'alma v'hani achrininu. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, the whole yichus changed. meaning the people who used to live in Mitzrayim are not the same people who live in Mitzrayim now, and therefore the Yisr of Mitzrus won't apply anymore because it's not the same nation. All the Bilbil Kalahumos, all the nations are no longer where they were originally. Certainly Mitzrayim, drowned by Kriyas Yamsuf, so it must be new people that inhabit that place. Tanya Am Rav Yehuda, but the Braisa tells us Rav Yehuda says that Minyamin Ger Mitzri Haya Li Chaver Mitamid Rabbi Akiva. Minyamin was a Ger Mitzri who was from the Tamid Rabbi Akiva. Amar, and he said about himself, Ani Mitzri Rishon, that I'm a first generation Ger Mitzri, Menasasi Mitzris Rishon, and therefore I was careful to only marry first generation Ger Mitzris. Asi Libni Mitzris Shnia, and I'll be careful when my son enters Shiduchim that he's only going to be also a very limited pool of candidates that he can marry, only a Mitzris Shnia, a second generation Mitzris. And that way, Kdeshia Ben Bini Roy Lava Bakal. And that way, by the time it comes to my grandson's generation, he'll be able to marry whoever he wants because he's going to be a Mitzri Shlishi. So you see that even in the times of Rabbi Akiva, a Mitzri was still a Mitzri. So don't tell me that Shlomo HaMelech was allowed to marry the Bas Paru and it's called Chitun because she wasn't really Mitzri. That doesn't count as a Mitzri because the nations are all changed. No, you see already even in the times of Rabbi Akiva, a Mitzri is still a Mitzri. So the Gemara answers, why was it that by Bas Paro it's called Chasnus? So Omer Papa Anan Mishlomo Leku V'Nosif, we're going to ask from the fact that Shlomo married Bas Paro why it says Chitun even though there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. Anyway, by Shlomo there wasn't going to be Tfisas Kiddushin because Shlomo Lo Nosif Midi, he didn't marry Bas Paro as a wife, he took her for Znus. Shlomo took her just for Ava, not l'shem Ishus, not l'shem Chasnus. So don't bring any riots from Shlomo Melch. There was no marriage there. El Kasha ve'ischatin. But the pasuk says ve'ischatin Shlomo bas Paro as Paro Melch Mitzrayim. So it says beferish that it was ve'ischatin. No, mitoch Ava yisera Rishava malo l'avakas of ki'ilin ischatin. But because he expressed such Ava for her, it was as if Nischatin, but it was as if he had married her. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi as follows: how could Rav Sheshes be poshik from the Brisa and say that a Kohen Patua Daka is allowed to marry a Nesina va'anantnan, but the Mishnah disagrees, and the Mishnah says Patua Daka Rushafcha Mutarim Begiyores Umushuchreres. How can you say Patua Daka is allowed to marry a Nesina? Our Mishnah said that Patua Daka is allowed to marry a Giyores and a Mushuchreres, implying Habinasina Asiri, that's it, only a Gyaros Mushukharis, but not a Nasina. Amalei L'Tamech, he said, yeah, but by that same logic, Ema Sefer, you read Viter in the Mishnah and it says, Vein Asur Melam Lava Bakal, that the only Yisr is to be Lava Bakal. That implies Habinasina Sharu, that a Nasina who's not part of the Kal, they'd be allowed to marry. So you have conflicting implications from the Mishnah. So you can't bring any raya from the Mishnah, and therefore it could taka be that a Petzua Daka is Mutar B'Nesina. So that's what we said, that a Petzua Daka Kohen is Mutar B'Giyores, meaning the guy's Cheshbon was correct, and a Petzua Daka Yisrael is Mutar B'Nesina. So now a new Mishnah. Amoni Moavi Asurim V'Yisurin Yisra Olam Aval Kvasei Mutaris Miyad. That a male Amoni Moavi are also Lava B'Kal even after they convert, and that's going to be, even the Pasuk says, Gam Dara Asiri Lo Yavala Mekal Hashem Adolam, that in 10 generations, even more, they're never allowed to be Yavala Bekal. But in the Kevos, Namonis, Moavis, they are allowed to marry into Kal Hashem. Mitzri V'Adomi is interesting. Mitzri V'Adomi, in a certain sense, is more Kal, and in a certain sense, is more Chamur. Einam Asur Mela Shlosha Doros, they're only Asur up until 3 generations, but Echad Zachar Mvech in the Kevos. It includes both male and females that are Asur until 3 generations. But Rabbi Shimon, Matirs in the Kevos Miyad. Rabbi Shimon says, no. If Amoni and Moavi are females, are Mutter right away, then for sure a Mitzri V'Adomi female is going to be Mutter right away. You don't need to wait 3 generations. And Rabbi Shimon Kal V'Chomer had Dvarim. He says, I'll bring you a simple Kal V'Chomer. Umayim b'makom sh'asar sezcharim isur olam. Hitter sen kevs miyad. If by an Amoni and Moavi, where the males are going to be Asr forever, and yet the females are Mutter right away, makom sh'asar sezcharim el shoshadoros by a Mitzri V'Adomi, where even the males are only Asr up until 3 generations, ain't odish natir sen kevs miyad. So for sure the Nekevos should be Mutter right away. So they said back to him, if you have such a tradition, we have no option option to argue because you have such a tradition. But if Vim Ladin, but if you're relying on the Kal V'chomer, Yesh Tshuva, there's a response to that Kal V'chomer. So Amar Lem, Rav Shimon is fired back. Loki, first of all, you don't have a response to my Kal V'chomer. And second of all, Halacha Ani Omer, I do have such a tradition. So even if you did have a response to my Kal V'chomer, I'm correct anyway. See, Minani Mili, how do I know that an Amonis Moavis are allowed to become Bekal and the Yisr is only on males? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Damar Kra, Ukhroshal is David Yeltsil Kras HaPlishti, Amar Lev Nasartsava, Ben Miza, Anar Avner, when Shaul saw that David HaMelech was about to take on Goliath, he turns to Avner and he says, whose kid is this? Vayomer Avner, Chai Nafshcha Melechim Yadati. Avner says, I have no idea. Velo Yadalei, what? Shaul didn't know who David was? Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayavayu Ma'od, Vayihilo Nosei Kalim, that David was his favorite servant. He loved him. Ela Avua Kamash. No, his question was, it never mattered before who David's father was. So now Shaul was asking about David's family. Va'aviv Lo Yadalei. But what? He didn't know who his father was. Vaksiv, the Pasuk says, in the parsha of the Melchamas, David with Goliath, it says, Vayishvi Meshal Zakin Baba Anashim, Vamar Avitem Rabi Abba, Zeyishai Avi David, Shenichnas Buchlusa, Vyatsi Buchlusa. One of the most important generals in Shaul's army was Yishai. So Shaul knew exactly who his father was. So Achikamar Shaul, no, what Shaul meant to ask when he said, Ben Mizeh Hana'ar, who is this guy? It was about the Yichus of David from Shevet Yehuda. Imi Peretz Asi, Imi Zerach Asi. Which of the children of Yehuda does he come from? Is he from the Bnei Peretz or the Bnei Zerach? Imi Peretz Asi Malkavi. If he comes from Peretz, he's going to be a Melech. Shemelech Poretz, Lasos Derech Ve'in Machin Biado. Because a Melech can be Poretz. He could break things down and go right through your vineyard, right through your house, in order to make a Derech for himself, and you're not allowed to stop him. And Imi Zerach Asi. But if he comes from Zerach, then Chashiv Ba'almi Ahavi. Then it'll just be a Chashiv person, he's not going to be a Melech. Meaning he was trying to assess the threat level. How much of a threat is David to me? Is he someone that can become a melech one day? So my time, Amr Le Sha'alei, what was the simon that Shaul saw in David that he was choshesh, that he was going to become the king? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says Vayalbi Shaul is David Madov, that they put on Shaul's armor on David Kimidaso, and it fit perfectly. Dechsiv Bei Shaul Mishich Ma'ala Gavah Mikala Am, but that was unnatural. That was a miracle because Shaul was Mishich Ma'ala. He was way taller than everybody else, so made no sense that the clothing was going to fit, that the armor was going to fit. In Shuvas Mishnah Halachas, according to the Panini Halachas section, they ask if it's something to ask for in Shiduchim, how tall the boy is. Is that a Maila when you ask how tall the boy is? So he says, well, Shaul, they praise him, Yishukhmo L'Maila, Mikol Ha'am, so maybe it's a Maila. But then he writes at the end, but it's not the most important Maila. You know, there are other Mailas that are much more important than the height of the boy. Okay, so that's we're up to Doeg's, when Doeg joins the conversation, and Bez Hashem will pick up with that, with Doeg joining the conversation tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.